from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If he isn't yours, he can be. He wants to be. In fact, he came to be. The Word of God tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now listen, friend, that means you. If you don't know for sure, if you're to die today, that you go to heaven, I'll tell you what, Jesus can save you. He can change your destiny. He can change your position, your situation, your condition. He can make you a new creature in Christ. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program, just excited about the fact that you have chosen to join with us today, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing, will bring glory to God, will be a benefit to you that are saved, hope to edify you, to you that are lost. We hope that it will convince you to realize that you need Jesus as your Savior. I've opened my Bible to one of the most familiar psalms that there is in the book of Psalms, and it is Psalm 51. It was written by a man by the name of David. I'll tell you more about it in just a few minutes, the good Lord willing. But that's where I'm going to take my message from, my text from, and my message from. And I just trust it'll be a blessing. Hey, friend, listen, we all have something that we need to deal with, and it's something that nobody likes to talk about, but there's surely a lot of people doing a lot of it, and that's sin. That's sin. Sin is a factor for both the sinner and the saint. Do you know that? So I'm going to give you my text before I even read it. I'm going to use this morning in this message, I'm going to talk about a sinner's psalm. That's what it is, a sinner's psalm. And surely that's what it is. Deb's got this song queued up, ready to go. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. And you can be today. In fact, if you're ever going to be saved, that'll be the only way. Enjoy. I'll be back in a moment.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace.
God's got grace aplenty. God got grace available. Friend, it's amazing grace. It's keeping grace. It's changing grace. It's grace for me, grace for you. And friend, listen, It's free. That's what grace is. It is the gift of God. Hey, listen, I'm not going to read all of this Psalm 51, but I'm going to read enough. I hope that we can get the gist of what the psalm is telling us. And the reason I'm not going to read much of it, I'll probably read it as I preach it, the good Lord willing. So listen to how David starts this psalm. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Again, I'm going to use this passage of Scripture to preach on this thought, a sinner's psalm. Now listen, the Word of God tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. The Word of God also tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, maybe. I'm not looking, and I'll probably not quote it correctly. The writer was Solomon when he was praying the dedicatory prayer, if I remember correctly, and he said, "There is no man that sinneth not." Listen, friend, you may not be the greatest sinner in the world. Your sins may not be as gross as they could be, but listen to what I want to tell you. Friend, it's not the magnitude of our sin that matters. It's not whether they're big or little, whether they're notorious or unknown. It's the fact that we are all sinners, friend. We may not all sin as badly as we can as sinners, but the depravity of mankind, the doctrine of depravity declares that we're all as bad off as we can be. We may not all be as bad as we can be, but we're all as bad off as we can be, and that means that we're sinners in need of salvation. We need to be delivered. Now, this psalm that is before us, it's a very familiar psalm. It's one of the seven penal psalms that we have record of in the Word of God. And a man by the name of David, a man who is noted to be a man after God's own heart. And boy, that's a message in itself, discovering and declaring why David is, according to the Word of God, a man after God's own heart. We see that he wrote, if I remember correctly, 5 of the 7 penal psalms that we have. Oh, listen, friend, listen to me. In this day and the hour that we live, when sin is notorious, when sin is rampant, there's an epidemic of sin in this generation. And by the way, there always has been. It's not noted. It's dressed up. It's colored up. It's renamed. It's relabeled. But can I tell you, God sees sin as is always seen sin. And friend, listen, sin is a reality. Sin is a damning thing. Sin is a convicting thing. Sin is a separating thing. Sin is a reality. And oh, we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it in our life. We need to be honest about it. Now look, there are sins in the life of the greatest saint without a doubt. I mean to tell you, friend, we're not perfect when we get saved. We just get a perfect salvation. We're not sinless after we're saved, but I'll tell you what we ought to strive to do. That is to sin less day by day as a believer and a follower in Christ. But let's be honest, every now and then we'll sin. We don't, if we're saved, listen to me, we don't make sin a lifestyle. We don't have the practice of sin. Friend, listen, we detest it. We hate it. We may fail and do it. We may blow it big time. But I'll tell you what, if we get in the hog pen as a follower of Christ, we'll want to get all of it. We'll want to get that mud washed off of us. We'll want to get our fellowship, bless God, squared away with God Almighty after we've sinned. That's what David did in this psalm. This psalm, friend, is the result of a great sin that David sinned. Everybody knows about David's sin with Bathsheba, knows about the murder of Uriah, his wife, knows about how that he denied and covered up his sin until a great man by the name of Nathan approached him, did a magnificent job of bringing him to a point of confession and a point of conversion. And oh, I believe after chapter 12, the record in 2 Samuel chapter 12 was experienced by David. I can't help but believe that that this seasoned man of God, this man that was still, though he was a man after God's own heart, was still in the flesh. He was still burdened and bothered by that old sin nature. Oh, listen, he slipped away somewhere, got his pen, his quill, got his parchment, and with the help of some kind of light, he began to etch into that page. Oh, he said he began to etch into that page this cry that we have in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. God began to cry out to God. David began to cry out to God for mercy. He knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he needed judgment. He knew he was worthy of the worst that the law could place upon him. But oh, listen, because he knew God, because he was that man after God's own heart, you know what he did? He laid bare his soul. He held nothing back. He was manifesting truth on the inner part, as we'll find in verse 6. He just began to lay it out before God and tell God that he was a sinner, that he committed transgressions and iniquities. And you know why he did that? Because he knew God. He knew God was merciful. He knew God was long-suffering. He knew God was gracious. And oh, we hear the cry of this great man of God. I believe at this time, friend, he had already conquered the kingdoms around him. He had built his palace. At that time, the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent that he had brought to Mount Zion. And oh, listen, friend, though all of that had happened, he was still a man. And he fell, but when he came to realization what he did, he cried out to God, oh, sinner friend, that's your place of help. That's the only point of hope for you, is to cry out to the one true God. But look at verses 2, 7, and 9. He said, now look in the latter part of verse 1. He said, blot out my transgression. Verse 2 continues, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7 says, this, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 9 goes on, hide thy face from thy sin and blot out all of mine iniquities. Old David said, listen, he said, my sin is ever before me. That's what he tells us, friend, in verse 3. He wasn't holding anything back. He was calling on God. He was calling on God for something that he needed. And it was cleansing, friend, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. But he was calling to the right place. You know what? When we get sick, and boy, I'm so sick of COVID, aren't you? COVID makes you sick, but I'm sick of COVID. I'm telling you, friend, listen, it just pops its ugly head up everywhere. We've been dealing with it, it seems like, forever now. But hey, you know what? When we get any kind of sickness, you know what we'll do? We'll call up a doctor, will we not? If we break a tooth, we'll call a dentist. If we have an eye issue, we'll call an optometrist or ophthalmologist, one or the other. Hey, if we have cardiac problems, we'll call up our heart doctor, our cardiologist, and our lung problems, our pneumologist, and all of those other specialists. We'll call a physician. Oh, friend, listen, if we're dealing with the sin problem, we've got to call upon the great physician. We've got to call upon the only one that has the remedy of sin. If you try to cover it up, if you try to deny it, we'll find out what that'll do to you. Friend, it won't bode well for you. You won't get any better. You'll get deeper in that pit. Hey, listen, friend, the longer you go with unconfessed sin in your life, the longer you try to cover it up. When you fail, listen, to not only confess it, but even forsake it, It just gets worse and worse and worse. Oh, friend, David called on the Lord. That's what he did. He was crying and he called out for mercy. But you know what he was calling out for? He was calling out for something specific. He said, wash me thoroughly. He said, wash me thoroughly. He said, look, I need to deal with this. Blot out my transgress. He said, you know what? I know I can't go back and do it over and can't get it taken away, but I'll tell you what, you can blot it out. You can blot it out, God, by your grace. And he says, cleanse me. Isn't that amazing? And you say, why was he crying? Why was he calling, preacher? Well, look at verse 5 of the calls. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. And you say, what does that mean, preacher? What was David an illegitimate birth? What was he born out of wedlock? No, no, my friend. That wasn't what David was indicating. Can I tell you, to me, this is one of the greatest confessions you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. One of the greatest confessions any man could ever make across time. David said, listen, God, I'm not going to offer any excuse for my sin. He said, look, I'm not going to tell you it's a matter of circumstance. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It wasn't society's fault. It wasn't mom and dad's fault, like people try to lay blame on mom and dad in this generation. This generation has raised a bunch of people that says, I'm not guilty of anything. My problems are the fault of somebody else. Well, listen, friend, David wasn't to that mindset. He said, listen, God, I did what I did because I am what I am. I'm a sinner. I was born that way. I got that nature of Adam, that fallen nature of Adam, through my mother and dad that begat me. Oh, they were victims of the same thing that I am. It wasn't their fault. They just passed along to me what they are. And it's what I am. And oh, God, I offer no excuse. I just tell you, listen, the cause of my sin, the cause of my transgression, the cause of mine iniquity was the fact that I am a sinner, and that's what sinners do. Listen now, he was crying out. He was calling on God. He was laying claim to the cause, and listen to his confession in verses 3 and 4. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me, and against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David, boy, I'll tell you what, was confessing. He was holding nothing back. He said, you know what, God, there was a time that I would have denied all this. There was a time that I just tried to cover it up. I tried to live with it, but we'll find shortly, friend, that when you get under conviction, it affects you physically. It affects you emotionally and spiritually. And David said, listen, but today, Father, I've come face to face with not only what I've done, but what I am. I've come face to face, Lord, with the realities of my sin. And I see myself in light of your holiness. I see myself, God, before you, and I'm a sinner. And I see my sin like you do. Oh, God, they're awful. My God, they're so sinful, so dirty, so dark, so damning, Lord. I know what I deserve, but can I have your mercy instead? David said, listen, he said, it's only against thee that I've sinned. I know I've hurt Bathsheba. I know I've hurt Uriah, Ahithophel. I know I've hurt my nation. That little child that Bathsheba has, I know I've hurt him, but you're going to take care of him. Oh, God of heaven, David was crying out, and he was confessing his sin. He wasn't trying to cover it up. He wasn't trying to say it was Eve's fault. He wasn't trying to say it was the serpent's fault. He was saying, God, and here's one of the ways we know that David was a man after God's own heart. He said, I'm to blame. I'm to blame. I made my choice. I made my choice. I fell under the power of temptation. My own lust that start within me got me in trouble. And oh, Father, I confess my sin before you today. Listen as he talks in three different verses about the weight of conviction. Look at verse 8. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I'll tell you what, when you're under conviction, when the hand of God is working with you, trying to woo you and win you, boy, there's no joy. I mean to tell you, you'll get up in the morning under conviction and say, would to God it were evening. You'll get to the evening when it was about bedtime, and then you'll say, oh, would to God it were morning. You'll just be miserable. There'll be no joy in your life. There'll be no gladness. I'm telling you, you may even lose your ability to eat and sleep and rest well. I'll tell you, conviction from the Spirit of God. Old time, heaven sent, sky blue, rock bottom conviction of your sin is one of the greatest things that you, sir, ma'am, can experience in your life. To know that God's dealing with you. To know that God loves you. To know that God wants to save you and rescue you from your sin. Listen to what he said in verses 12 and 17. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. When a man gets under conviction in a way to where he's nearly to get be converted, friend, he'll be bruised in his spirit. He'll be broken in his heart. There'll be grief down in the depths of his soul. And he'll realize, friend, he'll realize how that he's sinned against God. Oh, friend, listen, I'm here to tell you that David was crying out to God Almighty, and God was hearing him. Oh, listen, friend, listen, there's one thing else. David was crying in this psalm of a sinner for cleansing. Friend, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. Listen to verses 6 and 7. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That makes me think of the words of Isaiah when he said, though thy sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Oh, if you're thirsty, sinner friend, if you're under conviction, sinner friend, run to God. You know what he'll do? He'll cleanse you. He'll fill you. Oh, he'll create within you a new heart. And that's what David said. That's what David said in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That word create is the same word we find in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when the Word of God says, in the beginning, God created. I believe in the Hebrews it's bara, B-A-R-A. And that means to bring something out of nothing. David began to look at his heart, and I've been guilty as a preacher, say to sinners, won't you come and give your heart to Jesus? Now, I know what I mean by that, and most people do too, but really, it's not good verbiage. Listen, God doesn't want our heart. He wants to give us a new heart. Sinner friend, that's where the heart of the problem is. It's in the heart. In our heart comes, out of our heart comes all sorts of strange, ugly things. I could turn to the book of Mark and read you a list of things that come out of the heart. The proverb says, the wise man says, out of the heart are the issues of life. But David cried and said, I know where my problem is, Lord. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in the place where the basic part of me in life starts and exists. I need a change of heart. I need something new. I don't need to be I don't need reformation, God. I need regeneration. I need you to create in me something brand new. God, just like you did in the beginning, out of nothing, you created something. And David was saying, God, will you do it again? Oh, he was crying, friend. He was crying out to God, who is merciful, who is long-suffering, who is gentle, who is kind, who has grace aplenty, whose mercy is everlasting. Hey, friend, listen. He wants to deliver you. He wants to save you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make a new man, woman, boy, or girl out of you. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to say, God, I feel the Spirit of God convicting me of my sin. God, I know I'm lost. I know I'm headed for a devil's hell. I know, God, that I'm a sinner, and I want You to save me. I hear that You died for sinners like me at Calvary. God, right now, the best I know how, I call upon You and Your Son to forgive me of my sin. The best I know how, I repent of my sin. And by faith, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. God, save me for Christ's sake. Why don't you call out and say, God, save me for Christ's sake. I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And you know what Paul said in the book of Romans 10? He said, thou shalt be saved. Hey, this psalm is the psalm of the sinner. Sure, ma'am. God will answer you. God will hear you if you'll call on Him now.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.